Welcome to the Plant Grow Reap podcast.
Okay, welcome to Plant Grow Reap. My name is Jody, and I'm here today with Tony and Kate. And we're all Gen X, so what's that, late 60s, early 70s born? And we're here to chat a bit about our career experiences and how we believe our generation has shaped the workforce in general. This is part of a podcast series we're doing where each generation of our team has a chance to share their perspective and insights. So to get started, can you introduce yourself and tell me about your current role at Aintree Group and a bit of background about your career leading to this point? Tony.
Well, hi. My name's Tony. I am the Lending and Finance Manager for Aintree Group. My background, well, it's varied. My younger days, I worked at Kodak on the process line in Coburg.
Yep.
I worked in photography. I was a wedding photographer for a while. I did that in conjunction with audio engineering or sound engineering. Didn't pay very well, so I found banking and finance and started working as a part-time teller at Commonwealth Bank, and my career's blossomed since then.
Wow, that's quite a varied background, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that where the spider bait came in earlier, the sound engineering?
Oh, the love of music, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Hi, I'm Kate, and I started Aintree Group in January this year. I came across with Paul Martin, who's another Gen Xer. I've worked for him for about 15 years and his practice has joined with Aintree Group, and I was lucky enough to be included. So, yeah, it's been a really big year. It's been a great year. Prior to that, I started in accounting early 90s and I worked for different accounting practices. I went off and did different things, had a family, came back, and here I am today.
Okay. And yes, obviously I'm Jodie and I'm a bookkeeper here at Aintree. Started in May this year. So yeah, I've been like finished my bachelor of business mid-90s, and I've worked at Melbourne Water, Braun Melbourne Hospital, a couple of accounting firms, and now I'm here. So what were the biggest challenges you faced when first entering the workforce as a Gen Z, if we can remember back?
Oh, we're Gen Z. Oh,
no, Gen X.
Yeah? I lose track.
Oh, I do.
X.
I think it was entering the workforce without any formal qualifications. So you're still studying at uni. You're not formally qualified in anything and you don't have the experience either. So you enter the workforce hoping that your employer has some faith in you and you demonstrate your ability, and then your career sort of grows from there. It's harder now. Like back then when I was at uni, we didn't have help or hex debt. I think my entire degree cost $1,500 that I paid up front and I was done.
Yeah, me too.
So it was a lot easier if you had the determination to study.
Yeah.
Finding your way in life was harder because, well, for me it was because my parents didn't entertain tertiary education. They thought that was a waste. Get into the workforce. That's what's going to make you money.
And I suppose particularly being male, or was it maybe you just go into a trade, or was it
a
bit of that as well?
Do a trade. I started at Kodak because you didn't need any qualifications to print photos.
Yeah.
So that was easy, but it was boring. Yeah, so that were the challenges, is trying to get an employer to have trust in you without the formal piece of paper that says you have the abilities to do this job in theory.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were just really raw. Like there was no internet, there was no information. So you turn up at a workplace and you just had no idea what you're working
into. And I'm trying to think
back
to my first work out of uni. Well, actually, you know, you have work experience here in uni, so you could go out, and then I stayed on as a full-time employee and finished my degree after that. But that was 95. There was were we still just doing it? I can't remember. How were we doing our accounting work back then? Was it just
ledgers?
Literally,
right? And a listing machine? Did you have one of them?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, we had them at the bank because we
did. Did you? Oh, that'd be different to accounting. Yeah. And clients would bring in their big cash books.
Yeah.
And, like you're just working off paper.
And there were still people smoking in their office.
Yes, that I really remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd come home at the end of the day just stinking.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Whether you're a smoker or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big part of the workplace.
Yeah. And then what year did we sort of get the really boxy computers that we have to, you know, and it was just one. It was just this like a little TV on your, like, and how did we even make those work? Like, I just can't remember.
Yeah.
We were full of practical jokes. When I entered the banking industry, we were full of practical jokes. The managers in different banks would say, like, my first day, I was sent from Commonwealth Bank to NAB to get a verbal agreement form. That went on for hours and the managers were just ringing each other, absolutely in hysterics. We've still got this guy going.
Verbal agreement.
I was given a ledger, big leather-bound book, and I was told to balance the ledger and they gave me a scale as well.
Oh.
So I'm there going...
That's so mean.
That is so mean.
But you can't do that now, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, because everyone's so, you know, different. Where everyone is right now, like you can't possibly, you know, they'd know if you're sort of, well, they don't, there's no time wasting like that anymore, if that makes sense. Like,
well, we, at our bank manager, we put glitter in his keyboard, we changed the keys around because he was a touch typer, moved his keys around, super glued his phone to the handset. So when he picked it up, he hit himself in the head. And stuff.
That was a lot of fun.
They
were the good old days. Yeah. They were. It was a lot more just fun, I think.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was more formal as well, though, or definitely in accounting.
Well, you knew your place,
the workplace,
sure.
Yeah, it was very structured. And the one thing that I remember is the way we had to dress, particularly as women.
Yeah, had to have a suit on.
Yeah, it couldn't wear trousers.
No.
I remember getting, not told off, but being told, can you please wear pantyhose?
Yeah, I think I was...
Imagine that happening now.
I know.
It's just...
We had a folder of dress code, how much makeup you can wear, where your piercings should be, if you got them at all. Men weren't allowed to have facial hair. We had to have a tie.
No tattoo showing either.
No.
I remember it's now it's like, that person
so
has got something on
the other side of their arms.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's definitely something that's really changed in particularly legal practices, accounting, those sort of professional services.
Yeah.
It's very
it's
different.
Loosened up a bit.
Yeah. Much nicer.
What do you think are the biggest stereotypes associated with being Gen X, and is there any truth to them? I often see reels on Instagram or something and it goes through the different generations and, you know, the baby boomers and then us. And I think we are tough. I think we've got a lot more resilience than probably, you know, some other generations after us. And I might be wrong, but I just think we came from that generation where our parents were both working, so you'd just let yourself in after school. You'd make your own way home, whereas, you know, there was no getting picked up. It was just
no.
You either walk home, there's a bus.
No mobiles. So you couldn't, if something went wrong, you have figured it out.
My dad grew up in the post-depression era and my mum grew up in the post-World War II era. So that they were tough.
Yeah.
People didn't throw anything away.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised if you have a salt and pepper sandwich for dinner because that's all we can afford, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You had to play outside until the streetlights came on.
Yep.
I died when I was 5 and my mum told me to walk it off, that sort of stuff. You know, we were tough. We had to be tough. There was no internet, there was no mobile phones, there was no calculators or anything like that. So I think we came with a bit of wisdom and a bit of experience and we're a bit of a know-it-all generation only because we've been through it all.
Yeah, but we had to entertain ourselves. Like and that was great as well growing up in that era because we just – and I think community was a lot stronger then too. You knew all your neighbours.
Yeah.
And you'd play with the you know, all the kids in the neighbourhood. Yeah. Everyone knew everyone. It was there was a lot more sense of community back then.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we're pretty lucky as well. Like, you would know, being a mortgage broker, just housing affordability.
Yeah.
It was achievable, like in the 90s. You could scratch together a deposit and have a reasonable size mortgage, whereas now I think it's pretty tough.
Yeah. It is definitely
for people in their 20s starting off. They've got these huge hex debts, and then they're looking at borrowing more. Like it's pretty daunting.
Mm.
Whereas we really didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but I think on a step when we bought our first. Well, I know when I bought my first house, I bought something reasonable that would climb in value over time, a debt that I could manage. I didn't have credit cards. I didn't have personal loans. But we did have to have 20% of the deposit.
Yeah.
There was no mortgage insurance or anything like that. And my first home was $100,000. Everyone thought I was mad spending that much money on a house. A double-fronted Federation home on Mordialloc Beach. $100,000, that's insane.
What year was that? Or
approximately 87.
Like, yeah.
87.
Gee. That would have been quite steep. Yeah.
17%. Yeah. And people go, well, it's all relative. We all earn more. I took home $300 a week. Back then. So my first coffee table was an upturned milk crate because that's all I could afford. But you learn from that and you grow. But it was definitely easier back then, I think. There was more property around than now, like the current generation has got hex debt, which is a major inhibitor of affordability. Yeah. Your affordability now is heavily scrutinised, where back then... When I looked at a home loan statement, I'm looking for anything you haven't told me. Now we're counting the number of coffees you have.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And that's the thing. And because the younger generation now, I mean, it's everyone lives their lives online and they want to have look like they've got the best and the latest and greatest. So that's where, like, credit card debt comes in, because they're trying to always, like, have this standard of...
There's a FOMO element to it, where my friend's got that and I want to live the same as my friend, otherwise I'm not as good as my friend is, and you're constantly competing with people you don't need to compete with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas we wouldn't know, like back in that, no one took a photo of their house or their interior to go, oh, look at how
everyone's
good this
lives.
No one knew. There wasn't just that expectation to have these beautiful, you know, styled homes and...
Yeah.
And everything, so,
Yeah, very different.
How do you think our generation's approach to work and or leadership differs from younger or older generations?
I think we were more formal historically. Like, that was basically our training, or it was in accounting.
Did we still call our bosses Mr. and...
Dates us, maybe. Not that old. I don't know. What do you think, Tony? That's a hard one.
I don't know if it's maturity or experience or having been a leader in previous roles and things like that. What I do is not a job. What I do is what I do, who I am. I invest myself into the job that I have as part of my career. And if I've got something pressing that I have to focus on, I'm not going to look at my watch and go, well, it's 4:30, I've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the job, then I'll go home.
Mm.
Because, and I know I'm not going to get paid for it, but it's what you do.
Mm.
And I'm not saying other generations don't do that, but your approach to it is mature, it's focused. You hopefully at our age have got the experience to do well in your role and be quite sharp, make the occasional mistake and be picked up on that, and importantly, accept feedback, positive and negative, I think is quite important. So when you're positioned to receive negative feedback, take it on as a learning for yourself, rather than be offended that someone's having a go at you.
Yeah. Mm. And do you think that's more of a younger generation, that they get a bit offended or...
Am I opening up a Pandora's box? I'm not going to name a particular generation because I think everyone has a passion for what they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Mm. I just think we've got thicker skins and an experience of what happens when you don't do your job well.
But do we have thicker skins because we are older and you tend to just go, oh, like you just don't sweat the small stuff so much anymore?
Yeah, well, it's like don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, we've just...
Is it going to ruin your life?
Yeah.
is your boss going to appreciate you spending an extra 15 minutes on finishing a job before you go home? Well, definitely. Are you going to expect praise for that? No. That's us.
But that's also, I think, you know, like as being mums and you see even younger mums now and the constant praise that they heap on their children just for doing the smallest thing. You know, when like even like kids in kindergarten having graduation ceremonies and all this kind of stuff. And I just think we're just creating this generation just needs constant praise and constant approval and reassurance that it shouldn't, I don't know. Do you think like that as well?
Yeah, I do. I definitely think there's the helicopter parent is alive and well. And, yeah, we were certainly not...
Not the way we were brought up.
No. And I don't think I was really a parent like that.
No.
I tried not to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think that's creeping in more and more.
Definitely.
Have
you felt the need to adjust your work style to align with generational expectations?
Well, I'd worked for Paul for about 15 years and it was pretty much just the two of us. So coming in here for me and working particularly with a lot of young people, I have absolutely loved. Mm. It's really just been, it's been a real eye-opener as to how that younger generation communicates and works. And, they've actually taught me a lot about how to work in a place like this. So
I'm always so pleasantly surprised by how empathetic they they are. Very, very in touch with their emotions and
good communicators.
Yeah, great communicators.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had the same experience.
So probably if anything I've had to open up a little bit and take it on.
I agree. I think though that there is occasions where say the Gen Zs of the world, they live by their phone. They get immediate responses from Google if they've got a question. They are sharing information at a faster pace than we ever could because we didn't have phones. We had a push bike and that was about it. Mm-hmm. So the expectation on us is from a younger generation is I need the information and I need it now. Right now.
Yeah. Their patience isn't as great as ours probably.
Yeah. But thankfully we work with very professional millennials and Gen Z.
No, we've got the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I'm certainly learning like things just, I've never claimed to be a very great with technology and they can just do things. It's incredible. I can learn a lot from them. Have you noticed any distinct generational values or priorities in the workplace? I know I have, which is they're very tolerant and accepting of everyone, no matter gender, anything. I love that. I think
very respectful.
Yeah, it's hard having a millennial daughter where we'll have the meltdown and I have to be quick and swift to try and turn that situation around, and it could be for the colour of a dress or the way someone looked at them or whatever it is. But being able to understand that emotions can sometimes be fragile, that it's not like when I was growing up, like suck it up, princess, have a cup of concrete and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't, can you imagine saying that here?
No, but I also can't imagine some of the problems I've got two teenage daughters, they come to me with. And I know if I had said that to my mum or dad, it just, come on, Jodie. Like, just either, get on with it. Just, you know. I do think they're a little bit more in their heads than what we were, if that makes sense. They do tend to feel things, or they process their emotions differently.
I think there's nowhere to hide. Like, you are so visible. Mm. You're always, no matter where you are, like even Snapchat, that map thing, that amazes me how like they know all yeah. over the world where someone is.
My daughter
just can't get away.
There's a thing called streaks on it, and mm. I don't know. She like, and I'll just see her, and she just takes a quick photo. It could be of her eyebrow, and but they've got these streak things, and they go, it's been going on for years.
Yeah,
and they can't miss it.
Like, yes, yeah. Oh yeah, the daily thing.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah, yeah. So that's so yeah, just that that constant. Pressure of having people watching you and knowing what you're doing.
I know.
I think that would make me a little bit fragile as well.
They relish knowing where everyone is and everyone yeah. knows where they are.
Yeah. And what you're missing out on and who's there and who's not.
Like, they certainly couldn't get away with anything because everyone knows where they are at every single second of the day.
Yeah. I see a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, if I did that to my wife, she'd go, is there something wrong with you? What's wrong? What are you showing me? I don't think COVID helped either. The isolation from friends and family.
Yeah.
Going and finishing your final year of high school in isolation has to disrupt your sense of self-worth and your sense of... needing that urge for validation, whether it comes from family or externally, which prior to COVID probably wasn't as prevalent because we saw our friends and it was okay to say, you look nice today and not get offended by that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, it's just odd.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I think we're still seeing the effects of that isolation.
Yeah, and, definitely. Yeah, so I think Sophie, your daughter, finished
Year 12 at home, basically.
Yeah, and my youngest was grade 6 at home. So, they missed out on a lot.
Yeah, they did. I think every age group in some way missed out on something.
Yeah,
but school was definitely really difficult.
Yeah.
Mm.
Next question. What have you learned from working with other generations? Which we've
sort of covered.
Sort of already discussed that.
Yeah.
What do you admire most about other generations in the workforce?
Oh, we've kind of covered that as well. We've covered the younger people. Older. There's not many older than us.
We're heard just about
the top of the tree.
We're bringing the average age of Aintree Group right up. What do you admire most about other generations in the workforce? Or did I just read that one already?
Yeah.
Sorry. What advice would you give to someone just starting their career today?
I would say back yourself. Just have a go. Don't hold back. If you want to do something, give it a go. And get the right people around you. Find the right employer who suits you and just have a crack.
Yeah. And I always say to my girls, manners, like, and just be pleasant. Like, I just think that's also such a huge thing. It's it just goes so far to be just willing to help and pitch in. Like, I think that's
my dad used to say to me, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And we've all heard that saying.
Mm.
But if you do what you love, you put 110% into what it is that you're doing. Be passionate, be tolerant and apply yourself.
And what if you don't 110% love what you do though, but you've done the study and do you still just back yourself and go, well, I've come this far and would you encourage your kids to start again?
I started again. And I don't look back with regret because it was an experience for me. I've got a qualification that I'll probably never ever use, but it is handy if someone says, can you set up my surround sound and stuff like that.
I'll keep that in mind, actually.
Yeah.
That if it's not working or if it's broken, fix it. Mm. And if that means taking that big step into a career change, so I'm moving back with mum and dad because I can't afford to pay the rent anymore.
Or, would you go for another hex did? I mean, you know, like you can, there's some obstacles in the way.
There are, I think though our age, we did, like you're probably an exception, I think that a lot of people did, they were on a chosen path and if it didn't work out, it was a case of just suck it up and keep going. Like we didn't change employers that regularly.
No, I mean long service leave was a lot more common back in the 80s and 90s than now. It's not very common for people to get long service leave these days.
I think younger people are are very open to change.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because there is so much information out there, like everything's accessible,
yeah.
and they've got a lot more resources to make yeah. decisions.
And they just won't tolerate not being happy, really.
No, which quite, is so good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Finally, because we all know Gen X had the best music, and there will be no, I will not take any further suggestions at this time. What were some of the best concerts you went to back in the 80s, 90s?
I remember going to Sydney Minor Music Bowl, listening to Australian Crawl, Cold Chisel, and there was another band as well. That it was just you sit on the grass and yeah. you listen to music, and it was quite innocent. There was no alcohol or anything mm-hmm. like that, but it was Australian Crawl's last concert. And I remember my dad saying, well, it's okay, you can go, but be back by 10. Be no. back by 10. So I rocked in the next morning at around 9.
Oh. Oh.
And he said, where have you been? But I'm back before 10.
Oh, nice one.
12 hours
I like
later.
That. You know, yeah. live bands back then, I think I saw Simply Red, and it was, for those that don't know, that's was a good band in the day. Mm. $20.
Yeah.
I saw Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That was $40. That was yeah. outrageously priced. Yeah. He was swinging off things like yeah. cables. And,
yeah.
And
that's a thing. Yeah. Like that the young kids now afford all these concerts because it's...
Yeah, 200 plus.
Oh, and that's if you're up in the nosebleeds. Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to Transvision Band at Festival Hall.
I love Festival Hall.
Yeah, it was such a good venue. And I was so close to Wendy James, the lead singer. Who,
yeah.
You know, and I could almost have just, there was no, you know, it was just, it was great.
Yeah.
I saw, and I'm very happy to say I've seen Rick Astley.
Oh, Rick Astley.
You know, never going to
that came
you
on Tuesday when we were making sandwiches.
So, So, the concert's
I saw In Excess at Festival Hall.
Yeah. Oh, I saw it. I went to that.
The swing tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I just remember it so clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a very long time ago.
Went and saw Madonna at the MCG, I think the one and only time she's been here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good one.
We were certainly spoiled with music.
Yeah,
I think those were songs you could sing along to in the car. They had some meaning. I know modern music does have meaning as well, but there's a lot of la 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 la, and that's a whole chorus.
Yeah.
Whereas, like Flame Trees by Cold Chisel, it's quite an emotional song.
Yeah. With Mac, with Queen. There was just
so much.
Yeah,
my daughter. And we'd have our cassettes.
Yes,
I love my little cassette.
Yeah, then we used to get the top 8 at 8 and they'd start playing and then you'd try to record it. You're waiting for the announcer to stop talking and then press record it because that was the only way we could hear it when we wanted to.
It was Casey Kasem.
My goodness.
American Top 40. On Sunday night.
American Top 40. Yeah, and then we had Countdown with Molly Meldrum.
Yeah, we watched that on Saturday night.
Oh, there was a special
it was really, really good. Yeah.
And then we had, and then Saturday nights was just Hey Hey.
Mm. Yeah, that was about it.
That was our weekend.
Yeah, yeah, there was not much, was
no.
it?
No.
No, until videos came in.
Yeah.
And you could go down to your local video store.
Go to Blockbuster.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
Was it Beta or VHS?
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
Yeah.
To someone's house.
Yeah.
And now.
That's about it, wasn't it?
Yep.
CDs came in. That was big.
That was huge, CDs coming in. Yeah. My first one was Belinda Carlisle, Runaway Horses.
Oh, dear. Mine was Kids in the Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them in concert.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah.
So,
Scott Kahn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some really great Aussie bands back in the 80s, 90s.
A lot of pub bands.
Yeah.
They just go to small sort of venues.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Hunters and Collectors in Perth when Human Frailty, their first album, came out. In Perth, in a local pub, you paid $2 to get in, and they gave you a free beer.
Wow.
Okay, and it was an area that was probably twice as big as this room, so a tiny little pub.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was right up front in a Triple R t-shirt because, you know, I was cool.
Cool.
And it was the best gig I've ever been to because it was so up close and so personal, and no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
I knew because I had the album, but. Australian rock scene is just amazing.
It was amazing
in the
80s
back
and 90s. Then. Yeah. I think a bit of it died with Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. Oh, it was never the same after he passed.
Yeah.
So.
I saw Pearl Jam the other night, on Monday night. Yeah, they were awesome. And they did a Hunters and Collectors.
Oh, really?
Throw Your Arms Around Me. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's
was
the
it good?
Best version.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's really, really good. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And they did a Crowded House song as well, I think. What's
Better Be Home Soon or
no.
something like
that. What was it? Can't remember. Anyway, they were awesome.
No, not that
one. No, it'll come to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good. Good concert.
Sure.
We were lucky.
Pearl Jam's song quotes that I really like is, do you want to be the boxer or the bag? And if you don't know what that means, it means, do you want to be in charge or do you want to be the receiver of
that's harsh.
All the pain?
That's
and
very
going,
extreme.
Yeah, when you're having a down day, you go, it lifts me up.
Okay. Does it?
I want to be the boxer. I don't want to be the bag today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kate and Tony.
Yeah, that was good. Thanks, Jodie. Thanks for leading us.
Yeah. No worries. Us Gen Xers probably need to go and have a nana nap now. So.
Yeah.
For rest. Yes. Cup of tea.
Okay. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Subscribe and follow Plant Grow Reap wherever you get your podcasts to get notified when new episodes go live every fortnight. See you next time.